verses 14 through 30. This is the parable of the talents told by Jesus. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability. Then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, 'Master, you gave me 5 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 5 more.' His master replied, 'Excellent, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me.' The second servant also came forward and said, 'Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more.' His master replied, 'Well done, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come, celebrate with me.' Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, 'Master, I knew that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, you have what's yours.' His master replied, 'You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown, and that I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the bankers, so that when I returned, you could give me what belonged to me with interest. Therefore, take from him the valuable coin and give it to the one who has 10 coins. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Now take the worthless servant and throw him outside into the darkness. People there will be weeping and grinding their teeth.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. So as you may realize already, and you're feeling it in your own life, we're headed into a busy season. I mean, personally, but also as the church, this is fall, right? Halloween, Thanksgiving, it'll be Christmas, it feels like, next week. It's just starting to ramp up. And it's true in the life of the church. Unfortunately, we didn't get to have the fall festival yesterday because of the weather, but still a big thanks to all the people who had done all the work to prepare and get us ready for it. And so now we'll just turn our attention to the Trunk of Treats, which is our next big event here, our opportunity to connect with our community, invite people to come and know us as a community of faith available to them. And we've got the not-so-scary Halloween concert. Maybe you've read the announcement or seen it on the screens. There's some kind of rumor floating around about a guest vocal soloist. Yes, thank you. Laughter was appropriate at that moment. Thank you. Yes. I hope you have that on your calendar and can come and enjoy all that that will offer. But this is also the season in the life of the church where we begin to look ahead to next year. Between the leaders and the staff of the church, we're in this season where we plan for the ministry for next year that we feel like God is calling us to do. And for 2020, we are working to have a vision for what that means for us to be God's church in Chamblee and beyond. So we're working on having 2020 vision. I didn't come up with that, but I won't credit the person who did in case you think it's a little too corny. But we are working on a vision for 2020 as a church. And so the sermons for the next 3 weeks are going to be in that same direction. For us to have a vision together, for what God is calling us to. And the sermons will have a certain arc to them. We're going to start this morning with acknowledging, recognizing where we've been, to see that. Next week, to see where we are. And then the following Sunday, to see where we will be. And so I hope you'll make plans to be here for the next two Sundays. They're going to be critical. I'll say next Sunday, please bring your smartphone, your tablet, your device, whatever you have that can get online. We're going to make use of it in worship next Sunday. If none of that made any sense to you and you don't know how to work stuff like that, we have people in here who can. And what we're going to do is we're going to help one another out next Sunday. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a joy, I promise. But it's a way for us to participate together in God's vision for our church. And then the following Sunday, November 3rd, we'll have an opportunity all to bring our card for commitment, which hopefully you got that when you came in. If you haven't, they're available, and you can get one between now and then. And it's just our way of saying together, here's what we intend to contribute towards the ministry of the church next year financially. Because we are all a part of it. I mean, it takes all of us to make it happen. The staff and leaders who are planning around the budget, that's an important part of it, is what do we think that we will be able to utilize in ministry next year? And so I hope you'll make plans to be here for the next couple of Sundays. This morning, we're starting with an acknowledgement of where we've been. And what a perfect story, a parable from Jesus, that teaching story to help us consider what it means to celebrate and appreciate where we've been. And it's the parable of the talents, as I said earlier. This is a parable that Jesus tells about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a man going on a trip. In this particular parable, Jesus uses money, coins, to teach us something about the kingdom of God. And it's not just the kingdom of God one day when we die, but it's the here and now kingdom of God that Jesus is teaching us about in this story. And the story goes that a man is leaving and going on a trip, and so he calls some of his workers and he gives his possessions to them. One he gives five, it says valuable coins, one, two, one of them one. Some translations, like I said, call those coins talents. And from what we understand, a talent represented a large sum of money, years and years worth of pay. And so for someone to have been handed five talents would have been like being handed a lifetime's worth of salary in one moment. And then one of them given two talents, one of them given one talent, and it says that the master, the man, leaves and goes away for a long time. And then he comes back and hears the report from his workers about what they've done with what was given to them. I can tell you, I listened to a podcast recently that related perfectly, I feel like, to this parable. And it's a podcast by the man who is the lead mentor in my doctoral work. I'm pursuing a doctorate ministry, and the lead mentor for that work is Leonard Sweet. He's an ordained Methodist minister. He's been the dean of Drew Seminary and published countless numbers of books and leads this doctoral work about understanding the signs of the scriptures and the times and what to do with them. And it's been great for me. Well, he also has a podcast, and I highly recommend it to you. And not just because he's teaching me right now and, you know, told us to do that. But I'm kidding, didn't do that. But it's a great podcast. It's called Napkin Scribbles. And they're real short little episodes, 6, 7, 8 minutes long. And just sort of his musings and scribbles on the back of a napkin kind of things from a modern day theologian. But there's a two-part podcast that he put out recently on giving and receiving. And so those are the ones I specifically would recommend to you. And if nothing else, because they're rather provocative. I mean, thought-provoking, but even challenging a little bit. And in them, he talks about the fact that we all live our lives giving and receiving, and he names for himself that he feels more comfortable being a giver than a receiver. You know, whether it's in terms of hospitality or birthday presents or Christmas presents or whatever it might be. He feels more at home when he's the one able to give a gift or give hospitality than the one receiving. I don't know if that resonates with you, but then he names the fact that that can be a real challenge to his faith. And I would say by extension, maybe for all of us, when we prefer to be the giver than the receiver, because our appropriate first posture in life with God is that of receiver, not giver. In fact, there's a place in the scriptures where Jesus says, freely you have received, freely you should give. It's the idea that we have been given by God, this life and everything in it. And so first we are recipients. And it's significant in this parable, this teaching of Jesus, to see that this man, this owner of this land, this master of his domain, gives to his workers his possessions. They're all his. And so for us to understand the parable and our place in it, as those who are the workers who've been entrusted by God with something, we know ourselves first then as recipients. So a theology of receiving has to precede a theology of giving. We see ourselves as being entrusted with something by God. And in fact, in the podcast, Dr. Sweet goes in to sort of challenge the notion of stewardship, if you will. And we use that a lot in the church, that teaching, that terminology. But the reason the way he challenges it is he says stewardship can sometimes present as, okay, I've got this that is mine, and now I need to decide how much of it I'm going to give away. And in some ways, that's maybe very much how this card would come across to you, this vision, 2020 vision card. Is, okay, I've got mine, and now let me figure out how much of it I'm going to give. And what Dr. Sweet says is really a full understanding of the kingdom of God, as found especially in this parable, is it's not mine. It's not yours. It's God's. All of it. Not just the money, or the possessions, or the stuff, but all of it, all of life, everything that we have, our family, our relationships, our ability to work, our homes, our faith, our love, everything about us, everything that we have, everything around us is all God's, not ours. And see, if we don't start with a theology of receiving and rather jump to a theology of giving, then we run the risk of putting ourselves in the place of God. It's mine. And so now I'll give what I want to give and how I want to give it and to whom I want to give it. And maybe I'll tie some strings to it. Maybe I won't. Or maybe if I'm not happy, I won't give some of it. But in this parable, we hear Jesus teaching us that we are recipients. Receivers, not givers. Because it all belongs to God. So then he goes on to name, okay, there was one worker who was given five talents, one who was given two, one who was given one. And the one who was given five went to work with it and doubled it. And the one who was given two went to work and doubled it. And the one who was given one was afraid, so he buried it. But then when the master returned and they settled up accounts with the master, they gave back what they had. And what we find in this story is not stewardship, but trusteeship. That these workers have been entrusted with something of the kingdom of God, the riches of the kingdom of God by the master. We've been entrusted with the riches of the kingdom of God by the master. People here at Chambly United Methodist Church have been being entrusted by God with the riches for years and years and years. Look at some of the signs, the evidence of how people have been entrusted with the kingdom of God here over the years. Maybe you'll recognize yourself in some of these pictures. Maybe not. Maybe you might recognize somebody, or maybe not. Maybe all of this happened before you. But God has been entrusting people right here with the riches of the kingdom for a long, long time. Whether it's 5 or 2 or 1. And see, there's some other things in this parable that I think maybe don't jump out at us at first glance, but are critical to us understanding our citizenship in God's kingdom and what it looks like to live that out. And I'd say one of the first things is it doesn't matter how many talents or how many valuable coins one was entrusted with. One was given 5, one was given 2, one was given 1. But it's our natural inclination, right, to go, well, I was only given 1, how come I wasn't given 2? Or I was given 2, but that guy was given 5, and I think I could have done more with 5 than that guy did with 5. How come I only got 2 and I didn't get 5? All right, I got all these 5, now what am I supposed to do with all these? You've only got 1. Right? I mean, that's just sort of our comparing, competitive way to live and read and understand. But really what I think we're being taught here is it doesn't matter how many, how much, right? The point is some were given 5, some were given 2, some were given 1. God has entrusted the riches of the kingdom to all of us in different ways. It looks differently, to different degrees. It's not about who got how much or how many, but it's about what God has entrusted to you or entrusted to us and then what we do with it. So this parable teaches us that it doesn't matter how much. How much of the kingdom God has given to you and me, what matters is then how do we respond? Now the other thing that I think this parable teaches is it doesn't matter what kind of return we got. Because it says the one who received 5 took it, went to work with it, and doubled it, and said, look, master, here's 10. Then the one who got 2 went to work and doubled it and said, look, master, here's 4. And the answer they got was exactly the same. Well done. You've been faithful. I'll entrust you with more. Come and celebrate with me. And then the one who was given the 1 coin and buried it and brought it back and said, master, here's your 1 coin. I return it to you. What did the master said, the least you could have done was put it in the bank and gotten me a little bit of interest. I don't know if you've got any investments in a bank right now, but that's what they earn, a little bit of interest. You could have, a very little bit. You could have at least gotten me that. It doesn't even matter the amount of the return. Actually, the master, the man who gave his possessions to his workers, the God of it all, who owns it all and entrusts it to us, was looking for something else, something deeper other than a rate of return, which, again, is really hard for us to understand. Living in a capitalist culture where that's what we focus on is investments and rates of return. But for us to think that that's not even the point of this, that there's something else. There's something else about being entrusted with the riches of the kingdom. And so that's the kind of thinking that we're doing right now in the church. We're doing it, like I said, with the leaders of the various teams and committees, with the staff people. The finance team of the church has compiled an estimate, a first pass at a budget that will be reviewed by the rest of the leadership, and that actually is happening right now. But a component of that is, what do we all anticipate that we're going to contribute to that work? And so I've asked one of our church members, a man who is helping to coordinate this effort, to help us all find ways to at least say, here's what I plan to give. I asked him if he'd come and share a little bit about what we're going to be doing in that direction over the next few weeks. So Bobby Wilmoth, I'm going to ask you if you'd join me up here and share with everybody what we can anticipate over the next couple of weeks.
Get it? Okay, good. Thank you, Eric, and thank you all this morning. This is the time, being the first week of stewardship, this is the time of the year that we review where the church is financially. As members, you're used to this. For those of you that are, maybe this is your first time here, you chose an interesting Sunday, so thank you for being with us. So let me start by just giving you a quick update on the finances of the church. Slide, please, Alexis. So the church's budget is a little under $1 million, but you can see by the slide we have a bit of a shortfall this year of a little over $80,000. Unfortunately, this isn't the first time this has happened. We've had it happen the last few years. The good news is I think there's a relatively simple way for all of us to solve it, and I'm going to get into that in a second. But Alexis, next slide, please. The second number here on this slide, total amount given through September, that number is off. That's actually incorrect. But the point of the slide is the same. Last year, there were about a little over $500,000 in pledges to the church. And actually, this year, we've already taken more than that in. What does that mean? What it means is there's a lot of very generous givers here in the church that unfortunately are not filling out commitment cards for whatever reason. And I get it, situations change. Sometimes people don't want to fill one of those cards out. But as Eric mentioned, we are in the time when the church is planning for next year, if at all possible. It's interesting. One out of three people that actively give to the church don't fill out one of those cards. So one of the things we're going to ask you for today is if you could please fill one of those out. So budgets, and certainly budget deficits, aren't fun, but I'll give you one that is good news. So we started in the last 10 years, we have done two restore campaigns. For those of you that are newer to the church, restore was two construction projects that we did on the church. And Ray, how much were they combined? $5.3 million, paid in full, thanks to the people in this room. So please, give yourself a round of applause for that. The good news is today I'm not here asking for $5.3 million, but we do have a gap to fill. Alexis, please. So we have two issues. Number one, the budget deficit this year, and this ongoing theme that we've had the last few years, theme, unfortunately, of having this deficit. How do we address it? And I actually, on that point, I think it's relatively easy. Alexis, next slide, please. Look at these numbers. We have a little over 140 givers in this church that give more than $500 a year. And by simply giving $1 more per day, so $365 per year, we eliminate a large majority of our budget deficit in any given year. And $2 a day, we completely wipe out that budget deficit and have new ways for this church to grow and expand. An additional dollar or $2 per day. Alexis, next slide, please. So I think many of you have been given a commitment card. As I mentioned earlier, we respectfully ask that you hopefully can turn that back into us. Check off, hopefully you can give what you gave last year, give an extra dollar a day, $2 a day. If you notice on the bottom of the card, there's a box that, knowing that not everyone in the church can do that, we respectfully ask, sponsor another member. If they're not able to, that you can help that church member out that's not able to make that commitment. Alexis, next slide, please. So we joined the church, in my wife Renee and I, in 2008, right before the first capital campaign. Some of you could have warned me, by the way. That would have been nice. But the changes that we've been through in the last 11 years, we've had two capital campaigns, massive changes to the church, and we've all gotten 10 years older, right? It's kind of interesting. We talked about this 2020 vision campaign, and as Eric mentioned, it is a little bit corny, but it kind of got me thinking. I noticed a few months ago that it was getting really tough to see a screen, so I made the trip that all of us dread at one point or another, and it's to buy the reading glasses. So I went to the dollar store and got the readers, but it was a world of difference. $1 purchase made all the difference in the world to me, and I think it can do the same in our church. We had a quiz Wednesday night supper 2 weeks ago, I guess, and the first question we asked is, how many people attended service at Chamblee First in 2018? Every guess we got in the room was low. The answer is it was about 13,000 people that were in this church in 2018. Now, a lot of those are us, right? Members of the church. But a lot of them weren't. A lot of them were people visiting the church who needed this church. And quite frankly, there's a lot of people that rely on this church in Chambly and beyond, all over the world, who rely on this church. So we're asking three things from you today. Number one, if you can, please fill out a commitment card. Secondly, help erase that budget deficit that we have for 2018. And lastly, make a commitment to do an extra dollar, $2 per day, and hopefully help a church member who can't. Thank you all.
Thank you, Bobby. In case you can't tell, that he's in the financial services industry, so he has a great way of presenting that and breaking it down for us. Thank you, and congratulations on your new glasses. But you know, that's what we're doing right here, right now, is catching a vision for 2020 for our church. And then we're all a part of that together. And I think that's something that was at play in this parable, because those first two servants had a vision for what could be done with the kingdom of God that had been entrusted to them. And that last servant had a vision of fear and scarcity. You hear it when he gives an account. He says, "Master, I was afraid." And it was his fear that caused him to bury what had been entrusted within him, so that one day he could at least have that to give back to God, to give back to the master. And the master said, "No, you missed the point entirely. I gave it to you. I gave you that portion of the riches of the kingdom of God so that you could invest it, so that you could use it, go to work with it. God's calling us to step out, to even take a risk. It's not about the amount of the return. It's the fact that you were willing to take what God gave you and put it to work." So God's calling us to know where we've been, what we've had. Everything we have is God's, not ours. And it's been entrusted to us to put it to work for God's kingdom. One way we're going to do that is we're going to do it together through the ministry of the church, and that's what we're budgeting for. And you heard the ask. If sometime over the next few weeks, and we'll culminate on November the 3rd, if you could just indicate something that you intend to give that'll help in the planning process. But there's other ways you can do it. And you can do it this morning by buying a wreath from one of our UMW circles. That money goes to be in ministry. You can do it by bidding on a pumpkin. Please go outbid me. That helps support our youth and the work that they do here and abroad. You can do it right where you are. God's given you all kinds of riches of the kingdom to invest, to be a blessing. The call is to do it, to step out, to trust God, to not be afraid, take a risk, and see what God will do. So I want to remind you, please plan to be back here for the next two Sundays. Next week will be fun, I guarantee it. Bring your device or be ready to help somebody if you have one, help somebody who doesn't have one, as we pursue and envision what God has for our church together. And then again on November 3rd, as we celebrate and pray over the gifts that God has given us, entrusted to us, and what we will do with them in 2020. And listen, as Bobby said, if you're here for the first time or you're new to this church, I want to let you know this is a place that you can call home and be a part of a vision for a community. What better place to invest in a church that's situated in a community? The church is debt-free, the community's growing. And in a time, if you heard Diana Butler Bass's lecture last Sunday night, or if you've seen it in her book, Christianity After Religion, in a time where fewer and fewer people are claiming a religion of any kind, much less Christianity, we've got an opportunity to bear witness to the world about the love of Jesus Christ. And this is a place where you can do that with brothers and sisters who would join you in the way. So I want to invite you, if you're looking, to consider making Chambly Methodist your home. So I want to ask if we could say a prayer real quick, and then we'll sing our closing hymn. Love divine, all love excelling. God, we thank you for what you have entrusted to us of the riches of your kingdom. God, we thank you for the story that Jesus tells about living as citizens in your kingdom, about putting to work all that you've entrusted to us so that your kingdom might grow, your love be known here, now, and around the world forever. And God, we give ourselves and all that we have to it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand as we sing?